Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Last Friday, we presented oral argument at the Federal Court of Appeals in the case involving the two Romanian churches in Chicago, Illinois. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this case involving the Romanian churches in Illinois is still going, and in fact, we presented oral argument at the Court of Appeals just this past Friday, and this was before a panel of three judges. Now, the issue here is whether the court should enter an injunction because of the past acts of this governor who issued these executive orders and then just on his own changes them whenever he wants to. Now, the good news is, on the eve of the filing before the United States Supreme Court, Governor J.B. Pritzker removed all the restrictions on churches. So from a state level, we do not have current restrictions on churches. We have recommendations. From a local level, the Chicago mayor has just recently set out some additional attempted restrictions on these churches, trying to exercise her own authority in the Chicago area. So the case is still ongoing. One of the things I want to address before we talk much about this, Holly, is the U.S. Supreme Court decision. Some people have actually thought, based upon what they read, that it was our case before the U.S. Supreme Court, and we were before the U.S. Supreme Court, and that the Supreme Court issued a negative decision. Here's what happened. There were two cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, including our case, both requesting the same thing. Different facts, our case out of Illinois, another court case out of California, both requesting the Supreme Court to enter an extraordinary relief, which would be an injunction pending appeal. In our case, the court did not grant that, but in their short denial that just simply said it was denied, they referred to the fact that the governor, just the day before, had removed all the restrictions, and so there was no reason for the court to issue a ruling because we got the relief that we wanted, which means we didn't want to have these orders enforced while the appeal is still going on. We wanted that relief from the Supreme Court, but we actually got it because of the governor's actions when he had to file with the Supreme Court. Now, it's the other case that was actually issued, and they denied their request. Theirs was a different set of facts. And then Chief Justice John Roberts issued what's called a concurring opinion, which is just his own opinion as to why he would not have granted that motion. And that does not represent the Supreme Court. In fact, no other justice joined in. It only applies to that case in California. But even that case in California is still moving forward.
You know, I find it interesting he would do that on his own like that. Is that unusual?
Well, you know, the Justice Kavanaugh, along with others, filed a dissent. They would have granted the injunction pending appeal.
Yeah, and they actually left the door open if circumstances change in the state, too, right?
They did in our case.
Yeah, in our case.
They didn't actually say that in the other case, but in our case, they said if circumstances change, namely, if the governor reimposes these restrictions that you were under in Illinois, then you can come back and you can refile your motion.
Their door is open. So.
The door is always open. Mm-hmm. And so that was very encouraging in our case. But, you know, Chief Justice Roberts didn't need to say anything. It was an extraordinary motion. You either grant it or you deny it. It's not a full-blown legal opinion. And for him to even say anything as to why he would not grant it was improper, frankly. He's able to do it, but he didn't need to. It was unnecessary. And the thing is that the other four that also would not grant that extraordinary motion pending appeal, they did not join him. So he's on an island all by himself, and therefore it has no precedential value whatsoever.
It kind of seemed like he threw in a leftist punch there when he didn't really need to, but
he did. Yeah, he did.
See that.
And, you know, so you at least have some of where his thinking is, which right. is not good.
Right.
Because he should be thinking along the lines of what Justice Kavanaugh wrote, which was very good and right on point. But in this particular case, our case is still ongoing. On the one hand, the restrictions have still been lifted statewide for all the houses of worship as a result of our case involving the two Romanian churches. But we're asking the court for an injunction based upon what the orders did in the past and what they could also do in the future. Mm-hmm. And that's a real problem. Just because the governor relaxed the restrictions and removed them doesn't mean that he can't reimpose them. And we don't want to have to come back again and again and again. And every time we get to this point of a decision, the governor just moots the case out. And you get your bags packing because there's nothing to decide. The governor can play those games over and over and over again. And that's why it's important that we get a final decision that the governor's actions are unconstitutional.
Right. We need a judicial declaration here. And, you know, these two churches, these peaceful, God-loving churches, have been through so much already, thanks to the city's mayor, and just bullied them continuously. So we do need a final decision that there'll be hands off these churches.
Yeah, this situation in Chicago is the most outrageous,
ludicrous, yeah,
in the entire country, and it's caught the country's attention. These mm-hmm. are Romanian pastors and Romanian churches
who came from communist Romania and dealt with that over there, and then came to Land of the Free, and now they're dealing with it here.
Yeah, and if you look at the sequence of what they did to these churches to intimidate them, they first of all blocked off, with no parking signs, 9 blocks of parking, and towed the neighbors' cars. And this is where they park, out in front of their house. That's the only place that they have to park. And for an entire day, a day in which it was raining and very cold, they had to park their cars a long way and walk with their groceries and whatever else to their house.
And the neighbors received a letter too, didn't they?
Yeah, and some of them got their cars towed. So they had to get transportation to wherever the towing place was, find out where it was located, and pay the fee.
All to make them mad at the church.
Yeah, that was the only reason. And then they wanted the neighbors to know why this was happening, so they had the aldermen send letters to all the neighbors. And those letters said the reason why there's no parking signs are here and your cars will be towed is because a specific church, they would give the name of it, and they would give the address of it too. That church is having meetings contrary to the governor's order. So they're essentially saying these churches are the problem. And if you want to know which one it is, I'll give you the name and here's the address of it. And that could easily have caused a lot of serious danger for the church and the people. And that's exactly what they wanted to do.
And then they gave the two pastors disorderly conduct charges for having church services.
Yeah, and before they actually even did that in the same day, they also then found out for the evening service, they came back and they found out that they didn't use the street parking, so they blocked the parking lot. And they sent three police cars.
Right, in front of private parking
lot. To block the private parking lot. Then, after that Sunday, they gave them the disorderly conduct charges. Then they sent a letter from the public health department threatening them. Then they sent another letter from the public health department, which was the summary abatement letter. And that letter threatens that any force can be used to stop this, what they called public nuisance. And they declared it a public nuisance for having any meeting in excess of 10 people, that you're now a public nuisance, and that there's a single individual, the commissioner of the public health department, has sole authority and sole discretion to do whatever, in this case, she wanted to stop the public nuisance, including summary abatement, which includes tearing down the building. And you would think of a summary abatement where you would literally threaten that. That would be something where the facility is so infected with some kind of disease that you couldn't sanitize it. You had to literally destroy it. That's that extreme power. And they threatened to use that against the churches for having a meeting in excess of 10 people.
But yet we saw these large crowds recently in the downtown, all these riots and protests.
We've had all that. And so this case, pray for it, because it's still pending before the Court of Appeals. We just had oral argument. We should get a ruling in the near future. We'll update you about that and then determine what the next steps will be in this case. Thanks for praying for this case and for the pastors. On the one hand, there's good news. The restrictions have been lifted. On the other hand, we don't want to go down this road again, and we don't know when these restrictions could be easily reimposed by the governor who makes this decision on his own, or the mayor in this case as well. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.